Are you enjoying the journeying word?
Amen.
Are you on the journey this weekend?
Amen.
Okay, where did we start? We start in eternity, right? With what? What kind of word? The eternal word, right? We started with Christ, the eternal word. Okay, then he took a step. Now what is it? He's the living word. Christ, the living word, and? And the life-giving spirit. So tonight we come to? The written word. The Bible. Don't forget, it's the Bible. The Bible is the written word. And then tomorrow we're going to end up where? What's the actual title? The spoken word of God. So hopefully you're being unveiled by the Lord to see these things, right? The eternal word, the living word, the life-giving spirit. Tonight we'll see the written word, the Bible, and then tomorrow we'll see the spoken word. Well, I love the Bible. I do love the Bible. And I've had an interesting affair with the Bible. My lifelong, right? Almost my lifelong, because if you're born in a Christian family, there's probably a Bible in the house. And maybe even before you remember, you probably started learning stories, right? And I don't remember hearing too many Bible stories. At Christmas time, we would always read Luke, you know, the story of the Lord's birth. So that was very familiar to me around my house. But kind of one of the earliest experiences I had of the Bible was kind of a negative experience. I don't share this often, so I don't know why I'm sharing it tonight. But we had this play. Well, actually, we had two plays. So there was two plays at our church. One was Noah's Ark. And so it was pretty elaborate production because they really had these nice animal costumes. I don't know where they got them. They rented them from somewhere, I'm sure. But they were really very professional grade costumes, you know. But I don't remember what I was. But anyway, I was something in that. So that was my first Bible play. And then the next one is the one I wanted to talk about was we did Joshua. And somehow I got selected to be Joshua. So that was like the star role. But there was another kid, he was really mad at me because he wanted to be Joshua. I didn't really want to be Joshua, but I just was. And so that was kind of my initial conflict with people in that church. And that just continued for many years. So that was kind of a negative experience, right? As a young kid, you get appointed to something. You weren't really seeking it. You got appointed to it, but someone is really jealous of you. For, you know, it's not your fault. But anyway, you can see how that would engender some negative feelings, right? But anyway, we enjoyed knocking the walls down. That was a lot of fun. So the Bible is like, you got to read the Bible. And this weekend, we haven't said that a lot, but you got to read it. Because I don't like telling you to read it, because that really doesn't work. That never worked with me, telling you to read the Bible. But If the Bible can be open to you and you begin to enjoy it, you begin to see things in it, you'll want to read it. It's not like I have to read it. Oh, I have to read my Bible. It's like there'll be something in you of a desire to read the Bible. And especially when you start having experiences of the Bible. If it's just letters to you, if it's like a foreign language when you read the Bible, that's going to be hard. You're probably not going to continue very long. But if you begin to see things in the Bible, hear the Lord speak to you in the Bible becomes a living book to you, then I'm pretty sure you're going to spend more time in it without someone, you know, kind of harping on you like your parents. It's like, you need to read the Bible, you need to read the Bible, you need to read, don't you know you need to read the Bible? Okay, here's another experience I had of, this wasn't really reading the Bible, but this was like going to church one summer. They had this program. And if you came all summer long, you would get an autographed baseball from this professional team in the state where I lived. And so I even sacrificed to go to all the meetings that summer, you know, because I really wanted that baseball. It's like I wasn't doing it because I really wanted to go to all the meetings. It's like I wanted that baseball. And then I don't know what happened because I was just a little kid, but they never gave us the baseball. So I don't know what happened. I'm sure a lot of people were mad about that because I wasn't happy. So we're not trying to promise you some reward about reading your Bible. You know, we'll buy you a Starbucks card or something, and you do it, and you never got your card, so now you hate us because we made you read the Bible. Because, you know, I didn't like those people because they didn't give me a baseball. So you got to pick up the intrinsic significance of doing it, right? That there's an intrinsic reward to knowing the Bible. And sometimes brothers share it this way, and I didn't really feel to share it this way this weekend, but it's like some people share, like, the Bible is like a language, and I've shared this before. It's like God speaks Bible. Have you ever heard that? Yeah. It's a very common way to talk about it, that God speaks Bible. But if you kind of think about that, it's like it's really kind of hard to pinpoint experiences like that, that God speaks Bible. And if you don't understand Bible, you don't understand what he's saying. It's like, what? I was trying to think, it's like, what's experiences of that? Has anyone had an experience you could share that could help me? God speaks Bible, so you heard him, you understood what he said to you? Go ahead.
1 Thessalonians 2:8, God cares for
others. Okay. What you're seeing, yeah. So God is speaking that to you. That's good. Do you know a foreign language? How many people know two languages? Okay, wow, we got a lot of bilingual people here. Usually you don't see that many hands among Americans, you know. So they say, you know two languages, you're bilingual. You know three languages, you're trilingual. You know one language, you're an American. I know two languages. I did learn two languages. And it really makes a difference. I really encourage you to learn another language because I think it helps your brain, one thing. But for sure it helps your realization of thinking about things in a different way. Right? Kind of expands your brain. Okay, and I'll give you an example. I hadn't thought about this before we shared, but you know, we shared about the Lord Jesus being the Alpha and the Omega. Okay? He's the A and the Z. Okay, what's the feature of that kind of language that would make sense? It's an alphabet, right? You have to have an alphabet. If it's not an alphabet, it doesn't make any sense. So one of the brothers here is Chinese, and we were talking, and so I said, how would you represent that in Chinese? Because Chinese is not alphabetical. It's calligraphy, right? It's characters, symbols. Maybe there's more than 100,000. I mean, a lot aren't commonly used, but there's so many characters that they could use. How would you translate that into Chinese? It's like, what's the first character and the last character? Like, would that make any sense in Chinese? And so, yeah, oh, here he is, right here. He's right in front of me. Right? So, how did they translate it? You can tell everybody. Stand up and tell everybody how they translated it.
According to the pronunciation of Alpha and Omega. So just saying, I'm Alpha and I'm Omega. So it doesn't make anything. If you just put the verse of it, it doesn't make anything for Chinese people. Without the footnotes, people wouldn't know the meaning of that verse. So it just there's no expression in Chinese which have the same function as Alpha and Omega.
Isn't that interesting? Okay, well, if you didn't know Chinese, you never had that question. Right? You'd just be an American. Yeah, so don't just be an American, right? It's like, actually, we're not Americans, right? We're here for the new man. And so language is very, very important for fellowship. I was motivated to learn Chinese because I was living in Taiwan and I hated translation. It's like there was lots of translation. You could listen on a radio, but they're always behind. It's always incomplete, and it's never funny. But when everybody else is laughing, it's like, what are they laughing about? It's like, and plus, it's like, a lot of times Brother Lee was speaking. It's like, I want to hear what he's saying. You know, it's like, I don't want to be listening to a translator. You know, it's like, here's a person talking to you. Why do you want it filtered through a translator? You know, so I was motivated to learn Chinese. And I'll tell you a secret. If you want to learn a language, that's the easiest one to learn. No one believes me, but it's really the easiest language to learn. Huh? What? There's no grammar. Well, no, there is grammar. This is what always tripped me up. In college, I took 6 semesters of Spanish, and I still don't know any Spanish. Even though I made mostly B's, one F, but it was the only F I made in college was in a Spanish class. Because that teacher wanted us to learn Spanish. All the other teachers, the bar was much lower. Okay, so those languages are hard because, yeah, you have declensions, right? You have just like, yeah, conjugations or declensions, different forms of the word depending on how many people are talking, who's talking, when you're talking. And we have that in English, too. And English has other problems that makes it difficult. But guess what? In Chinese, once you learn a word, you can always use it correctly because it never changes. So for example, like run, it's always run. No matter how many people are running, when you ran, if you were just thinking about running, or whatever it is, whatever the condition is, it's just always run. So that's really simple if you can learn it. If you can learn the word for run, then you can use it correctly, right? And so, yeah, so anyway, I don't know exactly why I'm talking about that, but it's back to language. Language is so important for communication. And so because I knew language in Taiwan, I could communicate to people, right? So there is an aspect of the Bible is like if you want to talk to God, he does speak Bible, but generally to me, he just speaks English, right? And he mainly uses one word a lot of the times, it's just no. So it's pretty simple to pick up the language God is speaking. Of course, it gets more complicated sometimes, but it's not that hard. And of course, the more you know the Bible, I think the richer maybe your communication is with God. The finer your senses are, the more he can touch you with because you know the Bible. But to me, that's still very objective in a sense, right? Communication. It's still kind of a very objective thing. It's like having a conversation with God. That's not exactly how he operates because mostly what he does is by life. Just like we were talking about that first night and even this morning. It's like there's a life code in the Bible. And you won't believe this, but in 1 John, it uses a word that is almost in English. It's kind of a sexual word, but it says that we are that of God. It's like we are generated by that, right? So it's down to the gene level of what God is doing in you. You know, they have gene therapy. It's like that's really what God is doing on his people is gene therapy. It's a God gene. That's right. There's God DNA that gets imparted into you. And that's going to do something. Not so much by talking to you. You know, it's like that's not how DNA works. It doesn't have a communication with you. It just replicates. It just reproduces itself. It just spreads itself. And that changes you, right? At a genetic level. And so the Bible uses words like species, right? That we're like the species of God. It's like, we are children of God. this is kind of a funny story. One time we were on the campus and we were talking with this student, and he was a Christian, and this funny look came over his face as we were talking to him. He goes, "You guys really believe you are sons of God." Which meant what? He might have said he was a son of God, but he didn't really believe he was a son of God. That's a different thing. You really are a son of God if you're born of God. And so this is why, like in Matthew, you can be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Not by your trying. That's not the relationship of a father and a son, is you try to be like your dad. Is it just you are like your dad because you are born of him. It's that intrinsic, right? And so we need the Bible operating in us at a much more intrinsic level than just communication, that we talk with God through the Bible. It's like, this is why we need to eat the Bible. I mean, we don't eat books physically, you know, it's like you just read it. But if the Bible is more than a book, which I believe the Bible is much, much more than a book, you know, it is a book. It has pages and ink, a cover, binding, but it does a lot more than that. And if you think about it, it's like, I don't think too many people died for the eternal word of God, right? And then even the living word of God, how many people died for the living word of God? Just one, you know, just the living word of God. He died. He was willing to die. He was the one grain willing to fall into the ground and die. But no one else to die really for the living word of God, right? But for the Bible, it's like people are willing to die for the Bible, which is really incredible. If you know the story of the Bible and the people that died for the Bible, it's like, it's so inspiring. It's like people would die for the Bible. So it's really incredible. It wasn't just give up. They weren't asking them to give up their faith. It wasn't asking them to give up their belief in God or their belief in Christ. You just have to give up your Bible. People wouldn't give up their Bible. That's really incredible. You might say, oh yeah, I would. If they forced me to deny Jesus as God, I would be a martyr. But if you want my Bible, okay, yeah, here you go. You know, take it, you know. I can maybe get another one or something, you know. But they wouldn't give up their Bible. That's really incredible. Okay, well, let's jump into the outline here a little bit, because I think the Lord really wants to speak something to us about the Bible, the written word of God. So number one says, Christ, the living word, needs a written word. Without the written word, we are not able to apprehend the living word. And the references there, you know, are mainly the Old Testament. At lunch, one of the brothers was asking he goes, I know the Old Testament is scripture, but what about the New Testament? You know, like when the Lord Jesus talks here, he's only talking about the Old Testament. He says the Moses, right, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. But what about the New Testament? So that was a great question. And he got a good answer. I'm not going to tell you what the answer is until you ask the question, right? When you ask the question, then you'll get the answer. But it was really good, right? But we need the word, the written word, to apprehend the living word. Okay? And then let's read B there. How about read B? I mean, sorry, A, together.
The Bible, composed of the Old Testament and the New Testament, is a complete written divine revelation of God to man.
Okay, so this is kind of informational, right? The Bible has two sections. It has an Old Testament and a New Testament. It's the way we refer to it. And together, it's a complete written divine revelation of God to man. So the Bible in this construction is just an amazing book. And we were in Ethiopia, we went on this tour, and I love this experience. This was quite an incredible experience. We went into this church building, And they were explaining to us a little bit about, you know, what they do. Ethiopia is a very ancient Christian country, kind of mainly on the Orthodox line. If you know anything about Orthodox or Catholic, it's on the Orthodox side. And anyway, there was a deacon there. They had a deacon and there was a priest. And the deacon, he was showing us this drum. They use the drums, maybe some other instruments, but at least they have this drum. They have these drums that they use in their services. And the drums are quite big. They're like almost, you know, like a 44-gallon barrel size, you know, about that tall. And they have a big end and then a small end. Okay. So this is a test. He said one end is like the Old Testament and the other end is like the New Testament. Okay, which was which? The big end was the what? The big end was what? The Old. And the little end was what? The New Testament. That's exactly what I said. All Americans would say that. And y'all said it. I can't believe it. Because that's what I told him. Because he said the big end is the New Testament. And the little end is the Old Testament. And I said, man, that is genius. That is brilliant. I said, all Americans would say exactly the opposite. Think about it. Why would the Old Testament be the little end? It's the support. What's that?
The old covenant.
Yeah, there's like an old and a new covenant. So why would the old be little and the new is big?
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal, that's right. I like that answer. Yeah. Exactly. That's right. It's like the Old Testament is limited and the New Testament it's infinite. Do you know what I mean? It's like the physical, everything in the Old Testament is physical. And this is why y'all answered that way. It's like y'all are too physical. Americans are too physical. And it's religion is always physical. Right? If you take away physical things, religion collapses. They want things they can see. Right?